Hey, welcome to Doorway to Supernatural. And we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, how to release them, and so forth. And so we do encourage you to continue to be faithful because we discuss there are so many things that are involved. You know, there's the pure life, there's the devoted life, there's a consecrated life, the sanctified life. There's a use of our faith to apprehend it. But we got a great question. It says here, so blessed and thankful for the series that I've been watching faithfully. I do have a question. My pastor talks about the gifts of the Spirit being within every believer. He says at any point, the Holy Ghost can activate any one of these gifts as the need arises. I'm feeling confused as this series focuses on petitioning God, hungering and thirsting, and fasting with the specific purpose of loosening the gifts into one.
A thousand may fall.
This could be another case of.
And 10,000 may
fall.
But we'll stand and adore.
Perhaps. But
for the glory of Jesus.
To wait for.
A thousand may fall.
Strong desire, I feel, more lines of what.
It's been a thousand may fall.
That's a good question. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that the one thing is true. When people get filled with the Holy Ghost comes in his fullness.
Yeah.
And he does dwell in us. We don't get a foot.
Yeah.
We don't get some, you know, some people say, well, you get the Holy Ghost when you get saved, but you don't get filled. And, you know, there's all kind. I think, well, hopefully I didn't get the toenail or, you know, but. This is a great question. Your pastor is absolutely right. We do get the gifts of the Holy Spirit when we get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's like we get Jesus. We receive his nature. We don't receive a portion of it.
Yeah.
We receive it all. But we are putting on that new nature as we're replacing it, as it replaces the old nature.
Absolutely.
So I think that... what will help us clarify it is in 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter. And when we begin to look at a verse 11 on down, and it says this, therefore, I know not what the meaning of the voice is, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so, ye, for so much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Now, what is it? Then I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So I think that this scripture here tells us if God would give us an utterance to speak, or if we would be praying in an unknown tongue, that if the Holy Ghost wanted to, he would just give you in the interpretation.
Yeah.
But that's not what that scripture says. It says you can pray for the interpretation.
Yeah.
Now, the gift is on the inside of us.
Yeah.
But it tells us here that prayer, the activation of faith in some way, is what brings this gift to the forefront in order to make the other gift fruitful.
Absolutely.
If not, when we speak in tongues, midst of other people without an interpretation, we would be a barbarian.
Yeah.
Paul says the way to remedy this is to pray that this gift of interpretation would be manifest. So we do see that though the gifts are in there, we must use our faith to extract them. Now, while it is true that many offices, Rob, like the office of the prophet, the office of the pastor, the evangelist, the teacher, and the apostle have certain gifts.
Yeah, that usually that, attend to that.
Yeah, ascend to that and join themselves to that calling.
Yeah.
Now, that is a set-aside calling,
yeah.
Somebody that God has chosen for a purpose, and these gifts help establish
yeah.
and to bring this gift
yeah.
into more fruitfulness.
Yeah.
Paul
good.
Said, the signs of the apostle were wrought in me. So he had signs. They were signs and wonders that were done as
yeah.
1 Corinthians 2 chapter and verse 4 down through 7 says that so that men, they would not have faith in enticing words
yeah.
of man's wisdom.
Yeah.
So, but that it would be in God.
Yeah.
So the gifts of the Spirit in the office of the apostle are there for one sole purpose. Not that faith comes by hearing, but that it comes by seeing and confirms what Paul is preaching.
Yeah.
But it's not just the wisdom of the preaching. It is the wisdom of
yeah.
God revealing to man and impregnating and filling them with faith
yeah.
to believe.
To believe, absolutely. Yeah.
And so, but when we're talking about the believer, people that are in the body of Christ, people that have been the Holy Ghost, this doesn't have to do with offices.
Yeah.
So the gifts of the Spirit, all nine of them, are there for you and I to tap into.
Yeah.
And if we will use our faith, just like any promise of God, these are given to us, but they are promises.
Yeah.
But they all must be activated by faith.
Absolutely.
If we were just going to say, well, you know, they're ours. Well, every promise in here is yea and amen, but none of them come to pass without faith and patience.
Yeah. Yeah. As, you know, I think of Paul, he says, the just shall live by faith.
And that, yes.
So everything we do is in the Christian life is only extracted through faith.
Yes,
the same,
absolutely.
Same with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, you said something that's powerful, too. I think that we need to understand that, too. The pursuit of them, you know, to be
yes.
hungry. We've been talking about that.
Absolutely.
The hunger and desire for the gifts. You know, signs usually don't follow couch potatoes, right?
So, right.
So if we have to activate our faith, get out there moving, and you never know. We're, you know, when you're out ministering or sharing or, you know, preaching, teaching, praying for people, those gifts can sovereignly come up by God as,
yes.
As he wills and as he directs. But at the same time, we got to be open and engaging in pursuit of them, wills
yeah.
and he
yeah.
as he directs.
You know, the overall is if you
but
seek
at
God,
the same time we got to be
you'll find him.
Open
he,
and engaging in pursuit of them, wills
yes.
and he as he directs.
You know, the
you
overall is
open,
if you seek
now,
God,
the same time we got to be
you'll find
open and engaging in and he as he directs.
You know, the
you
that there are
overall is
open.
If you seek
now,
God, same,
unless you are actively by faith pursuing
he as he directs.
You know, the
yeah.
that there are
well, is open.
If you seek
now,
God,
the same
unless you are
poor.
Actively
so we
by
can't
faith
just
pursuing
he as he directs.
You know, the
yeah.
that there
well,
are
is open. Open.
If you
but
seek
now,
God,
the
same unless you are
poor.
Actively
so we
by
can't
faith
nine,
pursuing
he as he directs.
You know, the
yeah.
that there
well,
are
is
open.
Open.
If you
but
seek
now,
God,
the
same unless you are actively
so
what percentage of the body of Christ never see a miracle.
My faith is pursuing
he
as he directs.
You know, the
open
now,
that there are
now the
same
unless you are actively
so
what percentage of the body of Christ
so either
that never
the
see a miracle.
My faith
is
pursuing
he
as he directs.
The
open
that there
are
now the
same
unless you are actively
so
what percentage of the body of Christ
either
that never see a miracle.
My faith
is
pursuing
he
as he directs.
The
open
that there
are
now the
same
unless
you
are actively
so
a percentage of the body of Christ either that
never
see
a
miracle.
My faith
is
pursuing
he
as he directs.
The
open
that there
are
now the
same
unless
you
are actively
so
a percentage
of
the body of
Christ
either
that
never
see
a miracle.
My faith
is
pursuing
he
as he
directs.
The
open
that
there
are
now
the
same
unless
you
are
actively
so
a percentage
of
the body of
Christ
either
that
never
see
a miracle.
My faith
is
pursuing
he
as he
directs.
The
open
that
there
are
now
the
same
unless
you
are
actively
so
a percentage
of
the body of
Christ
either
that
never
do it. But if there is, even in the filling of the Holy Spirit, there's a pursuit of that.
Yes,
it,
absolutely.
We've got to
you
pursue
you have
it.
To say,
yeah.
look,
yeah.
give me this gift.
Yeah.
The even the Jewish people there in the at that were proselytes on the day of Pentecost. Yeah. Peter said, look, if you repent, you can receive this gift.
Yeah.
So they wanted yeah. you know, recognition that, wow, yeah. Simeon yeah. in the 8th chapter of Acts, yeah. you know, he said, look, give me this power. Yeah. Now, his motive was wrong, but,
yeah.
you know, the innocency
yeah.
of his desire yeah. to see God use him was legitimate.
Exactly.
And so I think that a lot of people get confused, but understand that, you know, you have not because you ask not.
There you go.
If you don't pursue, if you don't apprehend something that God has promised you,
yeah.
the promise will never come to pass.
Yeah.
And there is always that struggle with the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the lust of the flesh, the busyness of life. You have to overcome those mm-hmm. things and pursue that which is God,
yeah.
or it is never going to happen in your life.
Yeah. Like James said, he said, you know, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works.
Right.
And, you know, we always attribute that to just, you know, good deeds or works of the law or whatever. But, you know, it can go into every area of the Christian life.
Absolutely.
You know, show me your faith without the gifts, and I'll show you my faith by the gifts.
Yes.
Right?
And so, in one sense, yes, the Holy Ghost can, but in the other sense, if he inspired you to speak in an unknown tongue and didn't follow it through, then we would think, well, he wants me to be a barbarian to
yeah.
people, and that's not true at all.
Yeah.
We have to pray. So I hope that that helps you. We have to use our faith to connect with anything that yeah. God gives us.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you can operate in a proportion of anything because, you know, if you speak in an unknown tongue, you don't have an interpretation, you would be a barbarian. Now, you can do that, but that's not God's fullest wish.
Yeah.
He said, if you do it, pray that you would interpret.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it means that, you know, you can do things half-heartedly. You can do things that would not necessarily be God's fullness, but God gives us faith to unlock things that would help
yeah.
them. You know, having knowledge about something is not the end of it. What ends the pursuit of things from God is not just discovering that he wants us to have them, that it's his will, that he's given it to us, but the pursuit of it with our faith.
Yeah.
And when it becomes active or when it is manifest, then we know that faith has completed its purpose.
Its purpose, yeah.
But remember that the Holy Ghost is the spirit of faith. So he does require faith to move in everybody's life. So I hope that kind of answers the question.
I think so.
So, but I wanted to start today, Brother Rob, over in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I wanted to start looking at the gifts themselves. I'm sure that some people are wondering, are you ever going to get them? Well, today we're going to get to them. One thing I would like to establish is when we get born again, we receive the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. After that, we receive our identification. Inside of us is a completed version of the image of Christ.
Yeah.
Now, we go through a transformation by the renewing of our mind
yeah.
and by the exercising of our faith. We put off the old man, we put on the new. Now, in doing so, we, by our faith, develop, bring to maturity fruits of the Spirit. Those fruits identify us or give us our identity with Christ. When Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits.
Fruit. Yeah.
And in fact, everything that God does has certain fruits in it, so it identifies every act that you take, identifies you with Christ.
Yeah.
Just like, let me jump over to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, just to make the point. And so it's everything that we do has an identifying mark on it, and to verify and identify us with Christ. And if we went to Ephesians, the fifth chapter, and we'll just start at verse 5. It says, "For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh upon the children of wrath, the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But ye therefore be not therefore partakers of them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk ye as children of the light." Yeah. Then it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit," not the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, all righteousness, and all truth, proving what is the acceptable, what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So everything we do is marked with an identification that it is accepted of our Father. It is done in the mindset, the heart of Christ through us. Now, we develop those gifts, these fruits, by the use of our faith. Faith worketh by love. Well, love cannot grow without having faith in God. If your enemy comes against you, you love him, you do him good. These are acts of faith. These acts of faith then unveil love. That means when you're doing that, no matter what your enemy does, guess what? Nothing will harm you if you do the good works of the Father. In that, there is divine protection in living in the realm of love by faith. There is kindness. These are all developed by our faith. They are not developed by the Holy Ghost. Now, he is working in us, but it is up to us to develop those fruits.
He won't do the work for us.
No, he will not. He will unction us, and he will help us, and he will strengthen us. But we have got to be the fruit producers. And so when we do that, it's done by faith. That comes by hearing, and then our faith transforms us into what we see being reflected to us through the scriptures.
Wow. You know, it reminds me of God giving his first command to Adam to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And I think that what we see with Adam is a failure to exercise his faith. Because in Hebrews 11, it starts with Abel.
That's right.
And Adam is not mentioned. So we know that there was no faith working there.
Absolutely.
And therefore, the fruitfulness that God would have him, he subjected and gave away to the enemy. But he didn't exercise his faith.
Yes, absolutely. So the fruits of the Spirit, they are not fruits of the Holy Ghost. They are the fruits of the recreated Spirit. They don't reveal the Holy Ghost. They reveal Christ.
His nature.
Right, in us. So, it's Christ in us, the hope of the demonstration or the unveiling of this great glorification or identity of Christ Jesus. Now, then, when we come to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, there are 9 gifts of the Spirit. Now, these gifts of the Spirit identify God. Each one of these gifts, as we go down through it, we will connect with miracles, and we will connect with this gift and see it clearly so that we can say, wow, God is that.
Yeah.
And it's not that we are that. It's that God is that.
Yeah.
These gifts, remember that Paul said, these things happen that your faith might be in God and not a mere man. And so these gifts have got to unveil God in a way that the unbeliever can recognize God.
That's good.
Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
So we are going to, let's just start at verse 7, Robin, read from 7 to 10.
Okay. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues.
Read that verse 11, would you?
But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will.
Now, that does reveal to us that the Holy Ghost knows everything because he is God. And so that when he operates or gives us a gift to operate in, that he's doing more than what we just think. He's doing more than a moment.
Yeah, he is.
But today, I'd like to start talking about today and probably next week about the word of wisdom. It says here that to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. And of course, we know that word is just a fragment of an overall vocabulary. So it would be a word or a fragment of God's wisdom. And it's for a moment of time. It may establish tradition, or it may establish a way that we would live or operate in the church or operate the church overall. And so it would be a word of wisdom. Now, there are three types of wisdom mentioned in the Scripture. The first is found in, let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 4. And these three types of wisdom rule in the earth today. So in 1 Corinthians 2, 4, can you go ahead and read that, Rob?
And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power.
Therefore, it shows us that there is a man's wisdom. And it can be and is many times connected to words. To words. And if we go down to, let me see, verse 13. Would you go down there, Rob, and read that?
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual.
Now we understand that wisdom can be taught and that it is comes from man. Wisdom comes from man's experiences, discoveries, mishaps, whatever.
And it's not a bad thing.
No, it absolutely is not. I believe that one of the great gifts of wisdom that God has given man and led him to unveil is in the medical field. You know, I think, well, why would God give wisdom to a lost world? Because it's his nature. He loves the world. And he gets no benefit of seeing them die without Christ. He gets no benefit in seeing people suffer, or anything else. So there is man's wisdom, and that can be transferred by teaching, instruction, running along with, becoming one with, being mentored, being fathered of. And we see that duplicated in the universities of our world, as well as the school systems. Not that I agree with any of those. It's just that I'm just telling you where it comes from. You know, Bible institutes and, you know, places, anything that we, any place that we gather knowledge and learn is where wisdom is being transferred from one person to another person. And
from
the
generation
other,
to generation, too.
And from generation, absolutely. The next is found in James 3:14. Rob, can you read that for us? James 3:14. This is another type of wisdom that is very dominant in the world, but we'll look at it, and it will help us understand certain things.
James 3?
James 3:14.
Alrighty, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth.
Then next verse.
This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish.
There it tells us that there is an earthly wisdom, a devilish wisdom, that has nothing to do with helping man.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with opening doors to demonic activity. If you'll read in verse 16.
For where envying and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it tells us that the wisdom of the world that men can transfer and so forth and operate in,
yeah,
it must be proven to be pure, to have its right motive behind it. If not, it has enough ability, Rob, that we can judge it.
Yeah.
And if we judge it and it doesn't line up with the wisdom of God, then we understand that it's devilish, and the whole purpose of it is to take the wisdom of the world and to open or unlock doors to demonic activity. Where there is confusion, there is the struggle between God's wisdom, man's wisdom that honors God or promotes service to God, or a devilish wisdom that has nothing to do with God, but is just corrupt, brings envy and strife and competition and comparing and so forth. That right there brings a confusion about.
Yeah.
And when that confusion is there, doors to demonic power comes in.
Now, Pastor, would you say that the entertainment industry uses that type of wisdom?
They're
using gifts and talents, but...
Yes, it uses, you know, this is a wise thing to do. Let's do this because we make money.
Yeah.
Well, the whole intent of it is to feed off of other people's need. And, partake of their weaknesses, their needs, and so forth. So, yes, all of that is involved.
And to create mindsets in people.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
People learn many times. They fall into the wisdom of the world.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, we'll just use this. Now, I'm not into child abuse. My child is raised, but I'll still spank my grandchildren. And yes, I said spank. And yes, I believe that the Bible is smarter than Dr. Spock and all of the gurus in America. And so I heard one woman that was a Hollywood star. She said, well, there is never any physical repercussion to wrong in our household. I said, oh, God forbid that you have any more children. They come out like you. What in the world? And so what happens, the Bible says, if you spare the rod, you spoil the child.
Yeah.
But if you apply the rod, you'll drive hell from his soul.
Yeah, absolutely.
In other words, he has to understand that there is a repercussion for all sin.
Yeah.
There is repercussion for disalignment or disobedience to the powers, Romans, the 14th chapter, that God has set in.
Yeah.
And that it's better to correct your child now than it is to visit him because he's disrespected the authorities of the world, and he ends up with an eternity headed towards hell. Now, I think God is wiser than Dr. Spock. I think Dr. Spock was an enemy to the family.
Yeah.
I think that Dr. Spock was not a helpmate to children. I think he was the enemy of children for the simple fact that he deceived parents. Thinking that you can talk to a child when it just takes a no, don't do that. You know, you can sit down and try to explain. You're trying to rationale with somebody that can't even wipe themselves yet. Where are you headed? I think that sometimes, you know, it's just crazy.
It is.
And so there is that wisdom. But if you'll read down into verse 17.
But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy.
Read verse 18.
And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
So here we see there is a wisdom that descends from above.
Yeah.
Now that is the wisdom of God. So there are three wisdom. There is the wisdom of man. There is the wisdom of the devil, the demonic. His wisdom is to divide in order to dominate, to suppress and to divide and to destroy. And then there is the wisdom of God. It's peaceable. It is not contentious. It's not trying to get ahead. It works things out for the good of those that are involved in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so there's those three wisdoms. And so as we look at them, the first, now those wisdoms that we just talked about, the word of wisdom that comes from the Holy Ghost Spirit and gives us direction, does not, listen, please listen to me, does not supersede the wisdom that has come from the voice of God that is in Scripture.
Amen.
Let's go to Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And Rob, would you read verse 5 through 6? Deuteronomy. And if you want to be foolish, all you have to do is just not live by the gospel. Just don't live by the Scriptures.
Yeah.
And you'll be foolish. And you'll suffer the death of a fool. God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be successful. And so let's read in Deuteronomy 4, 5 and 6, Rob.
Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Amen.
That tells us that there, these scriptures right here are wiser than the wisdoms of the world. And if we will operate in these things, the world will see.
But
if we just descend to human wisdom, understanding, and it's not bad. Please, don't get me wrong. It's not bad. So there are good things like, you know, how to get out of debt, you know, how to do this, how to do that. Those are great wise things that we do. But then let's go over to 2 Timothy 3:15, Rob. 2 Timothy 3:15. Because some people want to be wise, and, you know, the first thing that you have to do if you want to discover wisdom is that you have to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But that simply means this, that you have to put God in his proper place.
Yeah.
In other words, don't think that you have an answer for yourself. Don't run to the world. Don't buy 1,000 books. Nothing wrong with education, but understand your first place of visitation is this word right here. Remember, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was made manifest. God became flesh.
Yeah.
So we understand that the Word of God is God himself.
Yeah.
And there is life here. So if you go out and buy a book before you read the Bible or before you study it out, well, I know those scriptures. Well, go back and visit them again and re-know them. Like having an anniversary, you know, rekindle the fire, praise God, ignite it, and go for it.
Yeah.
Now, can you read from verse 15, Rob?
And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Wise unto salvation. That's not just wisdom to get saved.
No.
That is wise unto the totality of the redemptive plan of God. In other words, if you want to know how to be financially dependent upon God and debt-free, you can't just, well, I'm going to start a savings program, I'm going to get my bills paid off, and I'm just going to keep saving. No, you'll build barns, and one day God will say, hey, fool, your life is required of you this day. In other words, wisdom tells us, in order to build not just a debt-free life, but to build a financially stable life, we have to use the principles of sowing and reaping and tithing.
Yeah.
We have to do those things. And the scriptures tell us, lay up for your generation, We are to save. We are to be putting back. But you can't do it without. So here, when it talks about salvation, Rob is talking about the totality of salvation.
Yeah.
The sozo
the whole
of
man.
God.
Yeah.
The whole man.
Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes, and that's what this scripture right here will do. It will produce for us the fullness of the wholeness of the abundant life in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Not just a portion of it.
No, the whole thing.
Now, where does that come from? It comes from the Scriptures. The Scripture is filled with wisdom. What you have to do is you have to say, I want to find the treasure of wisdom.
Yeah.
And as you seek that word of wisdom that's from the Scripture, guess what?
There it
is. He's going to give it to you. Absolutely. Yeah. You will find it. So if you want to know how to have a harvest, find out about sowing and reaping. If you want to know about, you know, how to make a declaration, then go to the Scripture. If you want to know how to have a faith confession, go to the Scripture. Yeah. Now, I know that there are millions of people that mimic everybody else.
Yeah.
But please, listen, you need to be wise in yourself.
Yeah.
You need to have your own faith.
Absolutely.
You don't need to mimic off of somebody else.
Yeah.
Because in a pinch, their faith may not be where you need it to be. You need your own faith. And I'm not against people quoting Scripture, but I really think that, you know, when you get as a child, you can speak as a child. But you ought to raise up one day and be a man and speak as a man of God that has established your own faith and that you know your God. Because the Bible says, they that know their God will do great exploits. Stop hearing about everybody else's exploits and getting your mind locked in on them and begin to know your God. That will be a great service to you. Know your God and quit living off of somebody else's table crumbs.
Yeah. It's a good word. Can I read this next verse?
Yeah, goes please. Right. Hallelujah.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here it is, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
There you go.
That's these scriptures for you, your faith.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think that, and again, look, we all start somewhere. But I don't want to feed off of so-and-so's seven confessions of prosperity. I'm glad that it has intrigued me. I'm glad that I've been speaking it. But the measure of faith in that can be greatly questioned.
Yeah.
Because we have not discovered it ourselves.
Absolutely.
We are telling somebody else's story.
Yeah.
And Paul said, I'm not going to do anything to convince you by telling you what I have not seen myself.
Yeah.
See, Paul had his own faith. We ought to have our own faith.
Absolutely.
I just, you know, I am, again, I'm for it, but I have looked, I have booklets.
Yeah.
Filled with things that I have discovered.
Yeah.
Who am I? Buddy, I didn't get somebody else's book and say, I'm just going to copy it. No, go through the Scripture and find out who you are.
Yeah.
Just read the Scripture every day. Say, oh, man, there I am.
Yeah.
Whoop, wow, there's another one of me. Oh, hallelujah, there I am again. And you'll start seeing who you are.
Yeah.
But that comes that God is revealing who you are.
Yeah.
And the Bible says when you look into the mirror and see yourself of who you are, then you can go.
Yeah, there you go.
And live it and be blessed.
Amen.
But it doesn't mean you can look into somebody else's revelation.
Yeah.
So many times we take what a preacher says and say, well, you know, so-and-so said, that'll get you a penny on a good day from somebody that doesn't know anything.
Yeah.
But if you're going to confront the devil and mountains and problems, you better have what God has said to you.
Yeah, your own faith.
That's right. He better put a word on your tongue.
Yeah.
And you better have a word in your season.
Yeah.
But, and please, I'm not condemning anybody. I'm not against anything. But I am for real faith.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know what? You're not going to remember so-and-so, and you ain't going to look at the devil and say, well, I'll tell you what, brother, so-and-so said.
Yeah.
He'll say, okay, well, we'll start at the bottom and finish at the top. You're going to be naked.
Yeah. Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?
That's right.
Yeah.
And who are you, a shadow of so-and-so? No. You got to be a man of God.
Yeah.
And so I am maybe too far of a stickler, but I don't like taking somebody else's and putting it in my mouth.
No.
I like eating. This is meat that are for those that have strengthened themselves, matured themselves, absolutely, and been active. And if you're feeding off of somebody else, I understand that. But if they give you a list of things to say, say, hey, boy, that's good. But then go to the Bible and let this word speak to you.
Be a bream.
That's how a faith confession is born.
Absolutely.
Faith confession is not just born by reading something. Yeah. A faith confession must be born out of you hearing something.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
The word of God.
Yes. Yeah. We got to be wise enough to, I always say this, that there's not many faith failures. There's just a lack of wisdom in the execution of faith.
That's good.
So that causes a fool's failure. Don't get mad at me. I'm not calling anybody a fool. I'm just saying, you know, hallelujah. I'm not calling anybody a fool, but a fool is a man that has rejected wisdom.
Yeah.
Or at least doesn't have enough sense to go and find it.
Find it or look for it.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's like people listening to other people that are in poverty how to be blessed.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I was going to be blessed, I wouldn't go to the wino on the corner and say, tell me what you have learned in life. You say, I have learned that cheap wine does the same thing as expensive wine.
Yeah,
it gets you drunk. So, but we have to understand, this is a book of wisdom. Why would I go any place else but this? Why would I go to somebody else that would tell me, give me their wisdom, when they could say, you need to find out your own wisdom.
Yeah. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. I love books. I read lots of books.
Oh, absolutely.
I have a huge library, but I know that they're not given by God.
No.
This is breathed out by God.
Right. These are opinions, translations, and so forth of men. And it's kind of like people say, well, you know, the Greek says, well, that's great, but Greek is not inspired. The Strong's Concordance is not inspired. Dictionaries are not inspired.
Yeah.
And so we have got to be careful when we're quoting. Yeah. Well, you know, that word means that. It does if you've compared it with this, and this, and this, and this, and the meaning has come from this.
Yes. Yeah.
And it lines up with the nature of God, and it lines up with the fruit of the Spirit. Therefore, we can say, that's what this scripture means.
Yes. Yeah.
And so we have to just make sure that we contend for this. And I think, Rob, we're going to end. Let's go. I got one more down here. Let's go to Matthew 7:24. Can you read that? Because this is a great one.
Yes. 7:24.
Yep.
Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock.
Hearing and doing. Hearing and doing is the key to wisdom.
Amen.
Now, no word of wisdom supersedes
God's
this
word.
Wisdom.
Yeah.
It can be judged. It can be compared to. It can be looked at or scrutinized through the scripture. But wisdom of it must be found right here in the scriptures. And it can't just be one scripture. It has to be multiple folded scriptures in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let a truth be established.
Amen.
So there is the wisdom of man. There is the wisdom of the devil. And there is the wisdom of God. There is the word of wisdom. And there is the wisdom that is infused throughout every word that is in this scripture.
Yeah. Amen.
So we want to be wise, but the first place we seek wisdom is this right here. This right here.
Yeah.
It will help us.
Amen.
And there are no substitutes. You have to make sure that you're seeking out the scriptures. You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm praying about this and I'm praying about that. Well, have you looked at scripture? No, I'm just praying God will give me an answer.
Yeah.
I love you, dude. Listen, sweetheart, don't do that. You're going to end up getting something you don't want.
I think, too, Pastor, a lot of people run around looking for words, prophetic words, and their Bible hasn't been cracked open in who knows how long.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you want a word from God, get into his word.
Right here.
Yeah.
This is an agreement that I made with God years ago. When I got saved, you know, people would prophesy to me all the time. I mean, I would go in service, and they'd stop service. They'd thus saith the Lord. Yeah. And I said, well, hallelujah, you know, that's great. I just never gave heed to it.
Yeah.
And but I started building a relationship with God. And people say, well, God told me that you were supposed to. I told God one day, I said, you know what? Quit sending these backdoor prophets. I said, because if they tell me what you say, I'm not doing it. I said, just take this to the bank.
Yeah.
You send somebody and tell me to do something,
know
this. I ain't doing it. Yeah. I'm not doing it. I am not doing it, not going there, not going to activate it. I'm not doing it. So if you want me to do something, you're going to have to talk to me.
Yeah.
And saying, if you don't tell me, I'm not listening to them.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care how they come. But so what happened was, about a year and a half after I was saved, I did what the Lord told me to do. I came out and I started studying for the ministry. Yeah. Phyllis worked, and so when I was there, everybody prophesied to me, you're going to be evangelist, And I said, oh, praise God. So I came out and I said, God, you know, I've been out for a year. I've had one meeting.
Yeah.
You know, you told me that you was going to use me in as an evangelist. He said, I did not. I said, yes, sir. Those people said, well, you better go ask them because I never told you that. And then he never said nothing for about 3 months.
Wow.
And I was in the shower, and God loves to talk to people when they have no defense.
Yeah.
And I was in there, and the Lord spoke to me and said, son, I've called you to be a pastor and a teacher.
That's good.
To my people.
Yeah.
And I said, okay.
Yeah.
And immediately... And he said, I want you to build a church. So I went to Bockton's, and I started building a church on 16 by 32-foot dirt floor. No heat, no water, no electric. But I'm telling you that I have survived, not by what people have told me.
Yeah.
I've not survived by church conferences. I've not survived by anything else, which they're all great. But I have survived by a personal relationship with God. I don't know every scripture. I don't know all of theology. But what I do know is one they call Jesus.
Amen.
And I can only live to that level, Rob. I can't live anybody else's life.
That's right.
I don't want their Jesus in my boat. I want my own Jesus.
Amen.
And so I want my own testimonies. I want my own victories. I want my own revelations. I want my own miracles.
Yeah.
I want my own interventions of God. I want my own book of Acts.
Amen.
I don't want somebody else's.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's important that the first place we go, always, please, go right here. Because, you know, when they would come to Jesus and ask him questions, he would always say, well, what does Scripture say?
Yeah.
I don't know. Really? Well, why don't you go home and find out and then come back and talk?
Yeah.
So we have got to stop all of these rabbit trails. This right here, we live and breathe by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Yeah.
The humble people do. The proud go alternatives.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we're going to sign off there, Rob, and we're going to get back with them tomorrow. We're talking about the word of wisdom. We established today the three wisdom, wisdom of man, the wisdom of the devil, the wisdom of God, and the word of wisdom, and the wisdom of the scripture. This is unchangeable. This is the only place of absolute, unshakable, unchangeable verification right here in this scripture.
Amen.
Okay? All right. So we're going to pray for you, and we're going to see you tomorrow, Thursday at the same time. Oh, Tuesday it'll be at the same time. So, Rob, why don't you go ahead and pray for the people?
Father, I thank you for ears to hear what your Spirit is saying and releasing into the hearers of today. On this program. Father, I pray for great faith to rise up in the hearts, Lord. A faith that would not settle, Lord, but that would apprehend all the things that you have for us, our own revelations, our own Jesus, our own truth, our own understanding of the scriptures. And Lord, I pray even as we go into our days, even when we go into our ministry and our work, and we wage warfare against the enemy, Lord, that would try to steal these truths, that we would overcome the same way Jesus did, with it is written. that we would know the word. It would be the scriptures would be sealed in our heart, Lord.
Yes.
And we would hide them in our heart so that we might not sin against you, Lord. So I just pray right now, Lord, for a great release of faith, Lord,
yes,
in Jesus' name. Release your people in the supernatural. Release them, Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Hey, we'll see you Tuesday morning. God bless you. Bye-bye.